Ren Lavoie, our NHL insider from TVS Sports. Monsieur Lavoie, thank you so much for doing this.
No problem.
We will talk about the Canadiens with you in a minute, but first, your assessment of what the Maple Leafs did, and what do you read into the fact that they would give Patrick Marleau a 3-year contract? Is there much to read into that, or do you think that's just, you know, it's kind of a deal that makes sense for the Leafs regardless of where they are in their, you know, their path to improvement?
Yeah, but at the same time, it's going to handcuff them. I mean, this is what I consider a big gamble. Not a gamble that you're going to regret, because I don't think they're going to regret that contract. But that's the problem, I think, with July 1st. Like, you're thinking about that day. You want to be prepared for that day. You want to make a splash. You want to show the fans that you're on top of things and you're going in the right direction, and you want to sell hope, because at the end of the day, that's what it is. But doing that, there's obviously some part of it that are risky. Mm-hmm. And I really do feel this is a risk. I mean, the good thing is Patrick Marleau is a forward. He's not a defenseman. If he was a defenseman, I would have said, oh my God, this is they're going to regret that signing. Mm-hmm. I'm not prepared to say that, because Patrick is a forward. I mean, you look at the way he plays. It doesn't really matter if he's not the fastest skater on the ice. You know, he's really smart. He cut the ice really well. I mean, they didn't sign him in Toronto just to make the fans happy and to show that they're proactive. I don't think that's their goal. But at the same time, there's a lot of emotions involved when you're signing a guy like him. Imagine if they would have signed Joe Thornton. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of GMs around the league who are telling me that even if Joe is still one of the best passer in the league, he's technically done.
Right.
And, I mean, so you need to look at Patrick and say, how is he going to fit in? I think he's really happy that he's going to be playing with younger players. That's obvious. I think that was something that he was really looking for. A guy or a few guys are going to be responsible defensively, so that's going to help him a lot. And so, I mean, it's still a risk. If it would have been 1 year or two, maybe I would have said there's no problem there. It's the third season. I mean, for me, that third season is really, really risky. That's the real gamble, to be honest with you, but I'm pretty sure that they had no choice. If they wanted him to play for the Maple Leafs, they had to give him that third season. So here's your real gamble right there, and it's going to be interesting. Obviously, they're a better team today, okay? And that's, I'm pretty sure, what fans wants to hear. But at the same time, management said, we know the process. We know what we're doing. We're not going to jeopardize our future because we want to win a Stanley Cup right now. But with that signing, even if they didn't trade for Patrick Marleau, they still handcuffed themselves with a big contract. So there's your gamble. I'm not saying it's a bad one. It's a good one for now. But in the future, how it's going to look like, I don't know.
Do you think that we need to see what happens with James Van Riemsdyk and Tyler Bozak before we can sit here and say, okay, it's a sign that... I mean, you're right. You don't sign this guy if you're planning to go slow and steady. But if they hang on to Van Riemsdyk and they hang on to Bozak, then that says to me as much as anything, okay, this is go time for the Toronto Maple Leafs. If one of those moves, then I don't know. Then you're kind of shaking your head a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally with you on that one. I know there's a lot of people, and we've talked about that maybe since the last year, about JVR and the fact that he could be traded. And I will always wonder, why would you trade a guy like him? And I understand why fans were saying, well, you know what, you need to go and get a better defenseman. If you go get a good D in return of JVR, it's going to be a good trade. And I'm totally with that. I mean, there's no problem. And I'm pretty sure that they tried hard to make that trade happen, but it didn't happen. Okay. So, I'm looking at teams around the league. Okay, let's let's pick the Dallas Stars just for the fun of it, okay? You look at the Dallas Stars. They made all those big moves. Everybody's saying that, you know what, they are, they won July 1st. Okay, no problem. You can't give them that victory. But you look at their roster. Defensively, they're better. In net, obviously, they are. But offensively, they had to make some big moves there. They have two great lines. But you look at the third and the fourth line. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced. They need to be better than that. And, yeah, they're going to score a lot of goals. But are they going to allow a lot of goals, too? That's the real question. I feel that, like I said, I feel they're going to be better. I don't think that they're going to finish last in goals allowed next season. But I'm still concerned about their third and fourth line. So those are the question marks that right now every team is having. There's always question mark wherever it's, you know, with the forwards at the blue line or even in net sometimes. But honestly, depth is important. So keep JVR. Keep him. If you can trade for a better defenseman after, do it. But if you have nothing interesting in return, why would you take that road? That's the real question. I'm happy that he's still a Maple Leaf right now.
Where do you think the Leafs end up getting that defenseman? Because, you know, do you think it would be – one of the things that intrigues me here, Ren, is the fact that here you have a guy who's well-established in California, well-established on the West Coast, and he's decided to come to Toronto as a free agent. Maybe you did have to pay the premium. Maybe the third year amounts to the premium. That's fine. But I'm wondering now if this isn't an indication that maybe a guy like Drew Doughty or some other defenseman may view Toronto as you know, something of a desired destination now.
Well, I know Ron Ainsa is no Drew Doughty, okay? But Ron Ainsa is an American. And he played in a big market in Montreal when he started his career. For him to decide to sign and to go in Toronto, I think, is sending the team and the fans a big signal that things are changing in Toronto. If Ron Ainsa didn't like the pressure, if Ron Ainsa didn't like to play in Canada, if Ron Ainsa didn't like to pay taxes, he would have picked another team than the Toronto Maple Leafs. So that's for me a good signal right there. And by the way, I think it's a great signing. So you look at Drew Doughty, the fact that he said that, you know what, playing in Canada, playing in Toronto could be something that I want to do during my career. I think it's just great to hear. So this means that the Toronto Maple Leafs are for real. And it's exactly, I guess, what Brandon Shanahan envisioned when he took that job in Toronto a few years ago when that franchise was collapsing. So now they're turning the corner. They're going to be one of the best team, I guess, next season in the league. They're going to be really dangerous. So if they can add a player like Drew Doughty, you can start, you know, saying that the chance of winning Stanley Cups are going to be really, really high. But it's obvious that when you're the LA Kings, you hear something like that. First of all, you don't like to hear that. You're disappointed that a guy like him is saying something like that because at the end of the day, your paycheck is coming from the LA Kings, not from the Toronto Maple Leafs. I understand why he said it. You need, you know, you can't take his quote out of context. But I don't know. Maybe if I'm the GM, I'm calling the Toronto Maple Leafs and see if there's a deal to be made. But if you're honest, maybe there's one to be made, maybe, I don't know, but we'll see. But obviously if I'm the GM, I will call Toronto and say, you know what, I have a guy who seems like he wants to play for you guys, so is there something that we can do? If the answer is yes, well, that could be just unbelievable, but I wonder if it's going to happen.
All right, let's bring it a little closer to home for you. The Montreal Canadiens that got the deal with Carey Price done. Yep. You surprised at the length the terms of the deal, the length and the dollar value. Did that catch you off guard a bit?
No, not at all. Okay. I mean, I was totally aware that Carey wanted a 8-year contract, 11 per, so it ended at 10.5. And you know what? The Canadians, they had technically no choice to sign him. It's a little bit like Connor McDavid. I mean, Jeff, we've talked a lot about Carey Price in the last few years together. And at one point, we mentioned that he's maybe the best player in the league. That was the year that he won all those trophies.
Right.
And we argued about maybe Sidney Crosby not being the Sidney Crosby that he was a few years before. But now, after two more Stanley Cups, I mean, there's no doubt. And when you talk to Carey Price, he's always going to tell you that the best player in the league by far is Sidney Crosby. And one of the reasons is the number of Stanley Cups and championships that he won in his career. So, but after that, you need to look at the top five. And I think, I don't know if you agree to that, but for me, Carey Price is the top five of the best players in the league.
Sure.
He's not obviously a forward. He's not a defenseman, but he's just unbelievable for that franchise. And I think that now that he has a family, that he, you know, his daughter was born in Montreal. I mean, for him, this is big. I mean, he embraced the city a little more. He understands the pressure of playing for the Montreal Canadiens, but I don't think there's any problem for him to play around or inside the Bell Center. I don't think it's a problem for him anymore. I think he can go do his groceries or shopping as much as he wants. But I understand it's a grind to play in Montreal. It's not easy, but he's got 80 million plus to be satisfied with playing in that jersey. And you know, If Carey would have said to Marc Bergevin, I'm not sure what I want to do, okay? That would have been a big, big red light for Marc Bergevin.
Right.
And there's no doubt he would have traded Carey Price right away. But the fact that Carey said, you know what, guys, I really want to finish my career here. For ownership, Jeff Molson, he really likes stability. Well, Carey Price is part of the definition of stability for that organization, for that franchise. And the other thing that's really important here, and that's what I really do like, and Marc Bergevin talked about that at his press conference 2 days ago, is we did talk to the doctors, okay? We looked at all his injuries, and the doctors were like, no problem. Yes, he can be injured again, but it's not going to be because of the injuries that he had before that contract being signed. So, and I know Carey's a big body. He's a strong man. You know, his body really needs to rest. That's what he's going to do this summer, maybe a little more than usual. But, I mean, imagine if Marc Bergevin would have been in a situation where he would have been forced to trade Carey Price. I mean, it would have been a total mess in Montreal, I'm telling you.
As for Alex Radulov, where do the Canadians go now?
That's a great question. I know there's a lot of people disappointed right now in Montreal. They're looking at Radulov as maybe their savior. So he signed for 6.25 per season, 5 years in Dallas. I mean, even if the Canadians did offer the same contract to him, honestly, and I'm saying it, I think it would have been a big mistake. And you know what? I'm convinced that Radulov's going to have success, okay, with the Dallas Stars. I mean, I'm not scared for, you know, the year coming in for him. He's going to play with great players. There's, you know, the energy in Dallas is going to be different than it was a year ago. That's if they stay healthy, because remember, a year ago, everybody got injured during the offseason. So hopefully they're going to stay healthy. But 5 years, the way Alex is playing is a little awkward. He's not fluid. He's an unbelievable player with the puck. But when the game is getting tighter, look at his numbers. They're different. They're not great numbers, okay? Playing in the East is different than playing in the Western Conference. In the East, honestly, and I know people are not going to like that, and maybe players are not going to like what I'm going to say, but in the East, in October, November, and December, it's close to the ice capades. I mean, nobody's hitting anybody.
Right.
Okay? It's there's always a few games where you're looking at that, and you're like, what are they doing on the ice? Okay? It feels like an all-star game all the time. A good thing that there's good defensive system, because it could have been a blowout night after night. But that being said, now he's going to go in the Western Conference. This is a place where it's hard to play. And it's, like I said, totally different than the East. He knows it because he played there with the Predators. But I feel like between when he played with the Predators to today, there's still a big difference. So maybe the fact that he's not the fastest skater is going to help because he's a big body. I don't know. But, you know, when the game is getting tighter in the East, it's in January, February, and March, April in the playoffs. I mean, how many times I said to myself, wow, what a great player. Not many times, Jeff.
Right.
So that's, and you know, management knows it. The problem is it's the other side of the coin. And you're asking yourself, okay, who's going to take his place? Well, you have Jonathan Drouin, okay, who can easily take his spot. I think he's a better player all around than Alexander Radulov. In my mind, there's no doubt about it. The problem for the Montreal Canadiens is not, it's not now, is Radulov's going to play in Montreal? And I don't think it was the problem a week ago. The real problem in Montreal, Jeff, is who's going to be my number one centerman?
Right.
That's the real question. Okay? That's a real problem. And as much as you get wingers or sign wingers or Ds or you sign your number one goaltender, who's your number one centerman? The answer right now is nobody.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. That's a huge problem. It needs to be taken care of. And now they have $14 million to play with. Yes, they're going to sign Galchenyuk, I guess, around $4 or $5 million. Okay. So they'll have $9 million to play with. I look at the Blackhawks. They don't have cap space. There are other teams that are, they don't have to go to the cap, but they have their own cap and they're already there. You wonder about, is Vegas is ready to make moves, other moves, make sure that they're going to get quote-unquote younger, or I don't know. It's a little strange what's going on right now in Vegas with the amount of money that they paid for that franchise, the number of good players that they traded in the last few weeks. You have to wonder what direction they're taking. But let's focus on Montreal. Maybe there's another trade to be made to get another centerman. And so we'll see. But I feel like, and knowing the way the Canes management is thinking, the fact that they have $14 million to play with right now is exactly the goal that they had before. That's the way they manage. They really wanted to have a lot of cap space. So they know that maybe there's a player out there that can be traded. So they need to wait and see what's going to happen. But I don't think it's the end of the story, to be honest with you, Jeff. I don't think that we're sitting in here on July 4th and that in September, when we're going to talk again, we're going to wonder who's the number one centerman. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be taken care of, but I can't tell you right now who is it going to be. I don't have the answer right now.